Welcome to this new episode of the Neural Network Podcast. We are your hosts, Muriel Eddy, and yes, occasionally our AI commentator bot Gerard pops in as well.
Today's episode is all about Bitcoin consensus. We're diving into a new research paper that dropped just yesterday, written by some big names in the Bitcoin world, Lynn Alden, Steve Lee, and Ren Crypto Fish. It's titled Analyzing Bitcoin Consensus Risks in Protocol Upgrades.
Yeah, exactly. And this paper is rich with insights. It tackles not only the basics of what Bitcoin consensus really is, but also dives deep into what could go wrong, especially when it comes to protocol upgrades. This is not a light read. It's 45 pages packed with technical insights and some fascinating analysis.
Wow, 45 pages. Yeah, I can see why we're breaking it down here. But let's give people a quick teaser, Muriel. Why is this paper a big deal?
Sure thing. Well, the authors argue that Bitcoin's consensus mechanism is a balance of interests among diverse stakeholders, from miners and investors to developers and everyday users. This balance is incredibly hard to modify by design, but the paper examines what risks we could face if and when changes happen, especially through different upgrade methods like soft forks and hard forks.
Ah, I see. So it's about understanding what could happen if there are shifts or upgrades to this consensus?
Absolutely. And there are real risks involved, like chain splits, which could lead to different Bitcoin versions existing simultaneously. Imagine that. Two separate Bitcoin networks both claiming to be the real Bitcoin.
That sounds like it could get messy. All right, folks, if you're into the tech that keeps Bitcoin running, or you just want to understand the layers of what makes it so resilient and sometimes fragile, stick around. It's going to be a fascinating ride.
Yep. And if you enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment. Let's dive in. All right, let's dive into the basics, Shrew. What exactly is Bitcoin consensus? The paper breaks it down, and it's really the backbone of how Bitcoin functions.
Right? I mean, I think of consensus as everyone just agreeing on something. But in Bitcoin, it must go deeper than that, right?
Exactly. In Bitcoin, consensus is the set of rules that dictate what's valid and what's not, whether it's transactions, blocks, or the blockchain itself. It's basically a shared rule book that everyone has to follow to keep the system stable.
Got it. So it's about what counts as a real transaction or block, but that sounds really technical. What are some of the core components?
Good question, Eddie. At the technical level, Bitcoin consensus includes three main parts: block validation, transaction validation, and chain selection.
Could you break that down a bit?
Definitely. First, we have block validation. This sets out what makes a block official, from the block size to proof of work requirements. Next is transaction validation, which includes rules for structuring transactions and executing scripts. Finally, there's chain selection. This is where the network decides which chain to follow if there's ever a fork.
Ah, that part sounds important. And it's not just about the longest chain, right?
Nope, not about length. Bitcoin uses what's called the heaviest chain. Eddie. The one with the most proof of work completed, based on difficulty levels. The idea is that the chain with the most cumulative work represents the most computational effort, and thus, it's the legitimate one.
Ah, thanks, Gerard. So it's like a record of the hardest work done, and that's what the network goes by.
Exactly. The heaviest chain with the most proof of work is what the network views as the legitimate history. And this concept of heaviest chain is crucial because any change to these rules, any protocol upgrade, requires careful coordination among everyone involved. That's where the risk of consensus changes comes in.
Right? So when the rules shift, it affects the entire network.
That's right. And in Bitcoin, these changes can be implemented in two main ways: soft forks and hard forks. Gerard, want to take this one?
Certainly. Soft forks are backward compatible. They add new rules or tighten existing ones, meaning nodes that don't upgrade can still participate, though they won't be fully in sync with the upgraded features. This is the easier, less risky route, but it's not foolproof. There's still a chance of division.
So they're like optional updates.
In a sense, yeah. Now, with hard forks, it's a different story. Hard forks create a permanent split if everyone doesn't update because they change the core rules. Non-upgraded nodes become incompatible, which can lead to two separate versions of Bitcoin if there isn't universal agreement.
That sounds intense. And it can actually split Bitcoin into two networks.
Exactly. Bitcoin Cash from 2017 is a classic example. The community couldn't agree on block size limits, so the network divided. You had Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, each running with its own set of rules.
Right, I remember about that. So This is more than just about technical updates. It's about managing potential splits and disagreements.
Yep, and it's also about making sure any changes are compatible with how Bitcoin operates as a whole. Different methods to activate these changes have emerged over time, like flag day activations, BIP9, and even user-activated soft forks. Each one brings its own set of trade-offs.
So the challenge isn't just about adding a new rule, but ensuring that it fits into the bigger system without causing chaos.
Exactly. And the authors of this paper highlight how essential it is to handle these changes with caution. Consensus is what keeps Bitcoin stable, but if managed poorly, it could lead to fragmentation. And Gerard, I think you'd agree that's not ideal for Bitcoin's long-term value, right?
100% Muriel. Stability and security are key. Bitcoin thrives because it's hard to change. Consensus is what keeps it resilient, but any update must be weighed carefully. One misstep, and you're looking at chaos instead of consensus.
All right, now that we know what Bitcoin consensus is, let's talk about how it's actually maintained. It's fascinating because the way consensus is achieved has evolved over time. In the early days, most people thought Bitcoin consensus was mainly determined by miners.
Right? The whole idea was that miners were creating the blocks, so I guess it made sense to think they were the main force, right?
Exactly. But everything changed in 2017 with the SegWit upgrade. That's when we discovered something powerful. Node runners, especially those implementing a user-activated soft fork, or US, could actually influence miners' decisions. This changed how we think about Bitcoin's governance entirely.
That's right, Eddie. Back then, miners held a lot of sway, but the SegWit moment showed that if enough node runners align, they can make a real impact. It shifted Bitcoin's governance to be more decentralized, and since then, the influence on consensus has been shared among a wider set of stakeholders.
Okay, so SegWit was a wake-up call. But who are these new stakeholders?
The paper categorizes them into six distinct groups. First, we still have miners, of course, and node runners, who are now split into two types. Economic nodes and what the paper calls regular nodes. I like to think of them as the plebs nodes.
Interesting. So what's the difference between economic nodes and plebs nodes?
Economic nodes are full nodes that play a major role in processing Bitcoin transactions. Think of big exchanges, payment processors, or corporations that handle large Bitcoin volumes. These nodes have a lot of influence because of the transaction volumes they manage, and they're tightly linked with the traditional financial system.
And their power has only grown. When companies like Binance, Coinbase, or Kraken run an economic node, their decisions can significantly shape Bitcoin's direction, especially in consensus matters. But plebs nodes are important too. They may not have the financial weight, but they're decentralized and numerous, representing the everyday users and hobbyists who run Bitcoin nodes.
So, plebs nodes may not be big, but they're strong in numbers, like a grassroots movement.
Exactly, Eddie. And then we've seen the rise of media influencers. This is a newer player in the Bitcoin space, and they hold serious sway over public opinion. Influencers can shape narratives around proposed changes, sometimes even pushing them forward through public pressure. We saw this with OP Chiche's Kitempine Pi Tevrefy, or CTV, also by PLN 19. Influencers really marketed their opinions to try to push it through.
And don't forget about the wizards, who advocated for ordinals on Bitcoin. They were pushing for the implementation of OP KT, leveraging their social influence to create momentum. It's a reminder that influencers can drum up support and even pressure that might sway other stakeholders.
So influencers don't have any technical control, but they can mobilize opinions that affect decisions.
Exactly. And then we have investors. They don't directly engage with the network's tech side, but their buying and selling decisions impact Bitcoin's price. And when the price moves, it can affect network security, development funding, and how the ecosystem evolves.
So investors, just by buying or selling, indirectly put pressure on the network. That's fascinating.
Yes, and their influence varies depending on whether they're individual holders or large institutions. Some investors can react quickly because they hold their own Bitcoin through self-custody, while others, like corporations and funds, take longer to respond due to regulatory constraints and intermediaries who hold their Bitcoin. And I wonder what Satoshi really thinks about them when I remember what he had written in Bitcoin's release first email.
And let's not forget the protocol developers. They're the ones building and maintaining Bitcoin's code base. They don't have the power to force changes, but they have what we could call a veto power. If the developers aren't on board, it's unlikely the update will get the support it needs to become a major part of Bitcoin's software.
Okay, so developers are like the architects of the network, but they need the support of everyone else to see their proposals come to life.
Exactly. And lastly, there are users and application developers. These are the people using Bitcoin and creating apps on it, from wallets to financial tools. If they're not on board with a consensus change, they might just leave the Bitcoin network for something else, impacting its adoption and growth.
So it's like each group has its own unique power, and they all have to work together to maintain Bitcoin's consensus. It's decentralized but balanced.
Exactly. And the paper also explores the different levels of engagement among these stakeholders or their state of mind. Some are passionate advocates for change, some are just apathetic, and others might actively resist it. This engagement level really influences how smoothly or contentiously consensus changes play out.
Think of it as a spectrum of motivation. The stakeholders with a vested interest or ideological passion will often push the hardest for or against a change, while others may just watch from the sidelines unless something directly impacts them.
So it's like a constant balancing act where each group pulls based on its interests and involvement.
Exactly, and that's what makes Bitcoin consensus so resilient but also complex. Without broad alignment across these groups, achieving major changes is almost impossible. All right, so now that we know who the major players are, let's talk about how they interact when there's a proposed change. The paper dives into something called consensus game theory, which explores the push and pull dynamic between these stakeholders during consensus changes.
Okay, so game theory makes me think of strategy and competition. Is it really like that with Bitcoin?
Absolutely, Eddie. Consensus changes in Bitcoin often play out like a high-stakes game. Each group has its own incentives and powers, and they have to strategically interact to reach a consensus. But the trick is, they're also trying to protect their own interests while avoiding any risks that could destabilize the network.
Right, it's not a friendly game either. Stakeholders aren't always aligned, and sometimes they're downright opposed. But at the end of the day, they have to find a way to cooperate, because Bitcoin only works if everyone is on the same page.
So, what does it take to get everyone to agree?
It's complex. For a change to move forward, enough stakeholders have to agree to avoid fragmentation. The authors highlight that economic nodes and miners hold particular sway because of their immediate impact on the network's operations. But sometimes, it's the plebs nodes that add the pressure in numbers, as we saw with the user-activated soft fork during SegWit.
Ah, so those plebs nodes may not be big, but they're mighty when they come together.
Exactly. And it's fascinating because the paper explains that stakeholders like economic nodes, miners, and even influencers can hold varying degrees of power at different stages of the consensus change process. For instance, in the early phases, influencers and protocol developers often shape the conversation, raising awareness and drumming up support or resistance.
And it's worth noting that protocol developers aren't interested in changes that don't have community backing. They need that buy-in for any code they write to actually make it into Bitcoin software. They can propose all they want, but if the rest of the ecosystem isn't on board, it won't happen.
So even developers need to play the game here.
Absolutely, it's all interconnected. And then we get to what the paper calls stakeholder powers during a consensus change. Each group wields influence differently. Miners might signal support for a proposal by dedicating hash power to it. Meanwhile, economic nodes could steer consensus by deciding which version of Bitcoin they'll accept for transactions, and regular node runners might enforce or reject a new rule simply by running or refusing an upgrade.
Wow, so everyone's got their unique way to signal their stance on a change. It's like a giant web of influence.
Exactly, and this can get even more intense when we consider fork threats. If stakeholders can't reach consensus, the network can split into two competing chains, each claiming to be the real Bitcoin.
And chain splits aren't just theoretical, Eddie. They can and have happened. Think of Bitcoin Cash in 2017. A hard fork created a new network because the community couldn't agree, and that split was driven by a difference in ideology on what Bitcoin should be. Each side fighting for their version of Bitcoin.
So, in a way, they were willing to risk splitting the entire network to stand by their values.
That's exactly it. And this paper dives into the risks that stakeholders face when they take that path. It's not just about ideology. There are serious financial and reputational risks involved. Imagine being a miner or an economic node betting on one side of a contentious fork, only to find out the other side gains more support. It can be a financial disaster.
That sounds like a huge gamble. And I guess it's why these groups have to be careful about pushing for changes.
Right. And that's why game theory is such a fitting way to look at Bitcoin consensus. It's about each group weighing their actions, calculating risks, and deciding when to hold steady and when to move forward. They have to consider the long-term consequences for Bitcoin and for themselves.
And remember, Bitcoin's decentralized nature means there's no central authority to impose decisions. It's all about finding enough alignment, and sometimes that takes years. When a proposal finally passes, it's because the community has gone through this long, careful process, weighing each risk and benefit.
So, when we see a major change in Bitcoin, it's really the result of years of careful negotiation and strategy. Nothing happens quickly here.
Exactly. And the beauty of this process, as the paper highlights, is that it keeps Bitcoin secure and resilient. It's slow, yes, but that slowness ensures stability. The consensus process is a protective layer, making sure only the most beneficial changes get through, and only when there's true alignment. Before we move on, let's take a quick moment to invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation with us. If you're passionate about Bitcoin and want to share your thoughts on consensus, protocol changes, or anything we're discussing today, leave a comment below.
Absolutely. We love hearing from you. Drop us a comment with your thoughts on Bitcoin's game theory, who you think the most influential stakeholders are, or there's a consensus topic you'd love to see us cover in the future.
And don't forget to follow and subscribe. That way, you'll never miss an episode. If you're finding this conversation valuable, go ahead and share it with others who might find it helpful or interesting. The more voices, the better.
You heard them. Engage, follow, share. We're here to break down the complex world of Bitcoin together with you. Let's keep the discussion going beyond just this episode.
All right, now that we've unpacked how Bitcoin stakeholders interact and negotiate during a consensus change, let's talk about measuring consensus. This is key because Bitcoin is decentralized, so there's no single vote to tally up. Measuring support is a bit more subtle.
Right. I mean, if there's no official voting system, how do they actually know if a change has broad support?
Good question, Eddie. In Bitcoin, measuring consensus is about observing signals from each of the stakeholder groups. Each one has a different way of showing support or opposition for a proposal, and it can get pretty nuanced.
It's a bit like taking the pulse of the network. For example, miners might signal support by dedicating hash power toward a proposal. If a high percentage of them signal their readiness, it suggests backing from that group. But remember, that alone isn't enough.
So miners alone can't push a change through.
Exactly, they're just one piece. Economic nodes show their support by choosing which software to run and by processing transactions on a given chain. If major exchanges, for example, start running software with a new protocol rule, that's a powerful signal. And then we have the plebs nodes, the regular everyday node runners. They demonstrate consensus in numbers, and since they're widely distributed, they have a more grassroots influence.
Ah, so the plebs nodes are like the everyday people showing where they stand just by running a certain version of Bitcoin.
Yep, it's a great way to put it. And don't forget about the protocol developers. While they can't enforce changes, they signal consensus by the updates they propose and refine over time. If developers release new versions and stakeholders adopt them, it reflects a certain level of agreement.
And of course, we can't overlook influencers either. They might not show support through technical means, but they sway public opinion and can rally or discourage different stakeholder groups. Their influence often shows up in how people react on social media or other public platforms, creating momentum around a proposal or controversy.
So it's like everyone has their own way of signaling. But what happens if there's disagreement between groups?
That's the tricky part. Disagreement can lead to a lot of friction and, in extreme cases, even chain splits. But ideally, if there's enough alignment among most groups, it becomes clear that consensus is reached. It's often about reading the room and seeing if there's resistance or strong support.
And remember, consensus isn't just about the number of voices. It's about the influence of those voices. If economic nodes, miners, and a majority of plebs nodes all signal for a change, that's a powerful indication of consensus. But if any major group is resistant, it can stall things indefinitely.
Sounds like a careful balancing act. It's not a simple majority vote, but more of an ongoing network-wide conversation.
Exactly. Consensus in Bitcoin is as much about gauging sentiment and influence as it is about technical votes. It's part of why Bitcoin's upgrades are slow and deliberate. Consensus is hard to measure, so only changes with really broad support tend to make it through.
Makes sense. So in Bitcoin, consensus isn't just something you count, it's something you feel across the network.
Perfectly put, Eddie. And this is what keeps Bitcoin resilient and stable over time. Only the changes that survive this intense process get integrated into the system, maintaining the integrity of the network. So, now that we've covered how Bitcoin's consensus works today, let's take a look at future scenarios and what the network might face going forward. This is actually one of the most interesting parts of the paper, because it's all about what happens as Bitcoin keeps growing and the ecosystem around it gets more complex.
Yeah, and I imagine that as more people, companies, and even governments get involved, it's only going to get tougher to reach consensus, right?
Absolutely. One future scenario the authors mention is an increase in alternative clients, different versions of the Bitcoin software outside of the main Bitcoin core client. Now, having multiple clients could make Bitcoin more secure because it spreads out risk. If there's a bug in one client, it won't necessarily impact the entire network, but it also comes with some big challenges.
And here's the risk with more alternative clients. You get a fragmented ecosystem where different groups might interpret consensus rules differently. That could lead to chain splits, where you end up with multiple versions of Bitcoin, each following its own rules and network. Not ideal.
So it's like each group has their version of the rulebook, and if enough people follow one, it creates a split.
Exactly. Another scenario is what's known as a chain split, which happens when consensus fails and two different versions of the blockchain emerge. This isn't just theoretical, we've seen it before with Bitcoin Cash in 2017. If a major consensus change doesn't have widespread support, it could fracture the network again.
And let's not forget the financial risk here. A chain split isn't just ideological. It creates two competing assets, both claiming to be Bitcoin, which can create confusion, reduce trust, and even lower the value of both chains.
So alternative clients could be a good thing, but they also make things trickier.
Exactly, Eddie. Look at Ethereum as an example. Ethereum has a variety of clients, and every time there's an update, they have to coordinate across all of them to make sure the network stays in sync. More clients means more resilience against single points of failure, but it also requires a lot of coordination. If something slips through the cracks, it can lead to some serious problems.
It's a double-edged sword, really. Diversifying clients would give Bitcoin more protection against bugs, but it requires perfect coordination. Unlike Ethereum, which updates frequently and has mastered coordinating multiple clients, Bitcoin's slow, deliberate upgrade process would make syncing all clients more challenging. A lack of coordination could lead to a split or worse, different parts of the network operating with conflicting rules.
So it's like insurance against bugs, but also a potential coordination nightmare. It's not done, right?
Exactly. And the authors point out that this scenario would require extremely careful planning and communication. If Bitcoin were to embrace multiple clients, every single upgrade would need to be coordinated across those clients, ensuring they all align. Otherwise, we could see inconsistent rule enforcement across the network, which could lead to splits or other serious issues.
And here's the trade-off: multiple clients increase resilience, but make the consensus process slower and more complex. More stakeholders would be involved, and each client would need to be carefully updated. The result could be a network that's even more decentralized, but one that's also more vulnerable to misalignment if updates aren't perfectly synced.
Sounds like a nightmare for investors and users. So how does the paper suggest the community prepare for these scenarios?
Good question. The authors suggest that stakeholders need to approach changes with even more caution moving forward. They emphasize the importance of extensive testing, gradual rollouts, and above all, ensuring there's strong community support before any major consensus change.
It's about learning from the past. For instance, SegWit's success was largely due to careful planning and extensive support from node runners. The more a change can be stress tested and shown to work, the easier it is to gain the necessary support across all groups.
So, the idea is to be proactive in managing consensus changes, not reactive.
Exactly. Another key point the paper raises is the importance of stakeholder awareness. Not holders stay fully informed on proposed changes, which can lead to late resistance if they only find out once a change is nearly implemented. The paper suggests keeping all groups in the loop as early as possible.
Makes sense. If everyone's aware from the start, they're more likely to support, or at least not fight, the change.
Exactly. And looking ahead, we might also see more proposals that seek to decentralize governance further. This would give more direct input to everyday users, which would strengthen Bitcoin's decentralized nature, but could also slow down decision-making.
And that's really the trade-off. More voices mean more resilience against any single group trying to dominate, but it also means slower progress. It's a balancing act that has to be constantly managed.
Wow, so the future of Bitcoin might be even slower when it comes to updates, but more resilient because of that.
That's the idea. The authors believe Bitcoin's value lies in its stability, so they emphasize cautious, gradual changes. With the potential of more clients, that cautious approach becomes even more essential. More clients could bring better security, but would require meticulous coordination.
It's amazing how even with all these protections in place, there's so much complexity that could come into play.
Absolutely. And this ties into the paper's reminder that Bitcoin's consensus isn't just a static set of rules. It's an active process that requires coordination from everyone involved. The bigger Bitcoin gets, the more complex consensus changes become, especially if client diversity becomes part of the ecosystem.
And that's why, as the authors note, anyone interested in Bitcoin's future should stay informed and engaged. Whether you're running a node, investing, developing software, or just participating in the community, understanding these dynamics only makes the network stronger.
All right, as we wrap up, let's dive into the last part of the paper, the recommendations. This is where the authors lay out their advice for anyone involved in Bitcoin on how to approach consensus changes in the future.
So, I'm guessing the main advice is be cautious and don't rush.
You nailed it, Eddie. That's one of the big takeaways. The authors stress that Bitcoin's stability relies on deliberate, slow changes. Any proposal needs thorough vetting and rigorous testing before being considered for widespread adoption.
And it's not just about the technical side, Eddie. Each stakeholder should ask critical questions about any proposed change. The authors recommend evaluating whether a proposal truly benefits the network as a whole or serves narrow interests. Consensus isn't just a technical process. It's about aligning with Bitcoin's values of decentralization, resilience, and neutrality.
So every change has to pass both a technical test and an ideological one, in a way?
Exactly. And they recommend categorizing proposals based on maturity and alignment with Bitcoin's long-term goals. This means gauging whether a change has broad support or if it's still in early stages with potential conflicts to resolve.
So it's like a checklist of questions. Does this fit with Bitcoin's values? Has it been tested? Does it have wide support?
Absolutely. The paper also includes a set of key questions for stakeholders. This section encourages every group, miners, node runners, developers, influencers, investors, to consider how a proposed change could impact their roles and responsibilities within the network. It's a call to make sure everyone understands how an upgrade might shift the dynamics of Bitcoin itself.
And that ties back to the idea of coordination, especially if Bitcoin ever moves toward multiple clients. Each stakeholder needs to recognize their role in maintaining consensus, ensuring upgrades are compatible and beneficial across the board.
And here's an extra recommendation we'd add to the list: test, test, and test again. Not just on Bitcoin's testnet or Segnet, but when possible on other compatible networks. Testing upgrades outside the main network can help catch any unexpected issues. Remember how SegWit and the Lightning Network were implemented on Litecoin first? Or how OPCACTAT was activated on Liquid Network by Blockstream? These tests help fine-tune proposals in real environments before they hit Bitcoin.
So it's like a sandbox for testing. Trying updates out on other networks lowers the risks and risks and builds confidence before a full launch.
Exactly. Testing on alternate networks provides real-world insights without putting Bitcoin at direct risk. It's a layer of safety that benefits everyone.
It sounds like they're proposing a roadmap for responsible upgrades, one that involves everyone and keeps the network stability front and center.
You got it, Eddie. Another recommendation is for the community to keep educating itself. Informed stakeholders make stronger decisions, so the paper encourages everyone to learn more about consensus changes, Bitcoin fundamentals, and how proposals impact the ecosystem. This shared responsibility strengthens Bitcoin over time.
So it's not just about signaling support, it's about truly understanding Bitcoin and the stakes of each change.
Exactly. Bitcoin's consensus is a shared legacy, and keeping it strong is a community effort. The paper urges everyone to take that responsibility seriously. Whether you're a developer, miner, or everyday user, your role in Bitcoin's resilience matters.
Well said. Bitcoin's resilience comes from its people. The more informed and careful they are, the stronger it becomes.
All right, that was quite a journey through consensus.
Definitely. And for all of you listening, remember, you're part of this journey too. Bitcoin isn't just a technology, it's a living network that grows with everyone's participation. So stay curious, stay engaged, and keep learning.
And if you're just as fascinated by Bitcoin's consensus mechanism as we are, drop us a comment with your thoughts on what you think should or shouldn't change in Bitcoin. We'd love to hear your perspective.
And don't forget to follow, share, and leave a review. Your support helps us dive deeper into topics like these. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with someone who might find it helpful.
Exactly. The more minds we bring into these discussions, the stronger the network becomes.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Until next time, keep questioning, keep learning, and stay connected. Cypherpunks and rebels in this digital space.